Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Hey, welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Mizar.
I'm Green Diva Gina. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Gina, you sound a little congested.
Yeah, a little. Oh,
yeah, let's do a solidarity.
A lot of congestion.
Okay, Gina.
Aw, thanks, hey, guys. Gina. You're real pals.
Well, that's what Green Divas do. We stick together.
We do. Yeah.
Green Diva solidarity, man.
You have a sinus infection, right?
I do. Oh. But lots of tea.
You've been hanging around with my husband? What's going on with that?
Yeah, we're buddies, you know? He was like, hey, here's a sinus infection just for you.
See?
Wow, yeah, I didn't know they were contagious. I guess they are.
Well, what happens with me is I get a cold. It always just goes into a sinus infection.
Colds are contagious, so
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'm on antibiotics now, so you guys are safe.
Yeah, but I don't think a cold, antibiotics don't do anything for a cold, do they?
No, but an infection, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So we can still get your little cold there, girly.
Yeah.
It's okay. Oh, luckily, we're super healthy Green Divas. We won't have
and
a
cold. And I won't kiss you. It's okay.
No kissing in the studio
Darn,
today.
Darn, I was so looking forward to
I
that,
know.
Too.
Oh, those goodbye kisses.
We had such a fun time in the studio with Zeke Freeman earlier.
Gotta love Zeke.
Yeah, Zeke is a lot of fun. He's this, well, the
no,
founder.
He is the founder and the managing partner. He doesn't like to be called the CEO.
Oh.
Of Be Raw.
Yeah, which Be Raw Honey.
Honey, mm-hmm. Correct. Mm. And I learned a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I learned why I didn't like honey for 53 years.
Which is absurd to me when you first say that.
But I always thought it had a weird taste. But of course, I was buying grocery store honey.
Totally
or my parents
yeah.
were buying
and
grocery
store.
He
explained why that's different.
Well, yeah, them. Because it's like a mishmash of all these different honeys, and they extend it and make whatever. It's
I
just
know.
Not.
It's not honey.
It's not honey.
So
did you say honey?
Honey.
Yes.
So we did a couple of different segments with Zeke, but one you'll hear today,
so
where
cool.
he offers some really delicious sounding recipes, including brining the turkey.
Yeah.
In
which
honey?
We've been
yeah,
doing it for a while.
Honey,
yeah. We've been doing that. It makes a very moist
and
turkey.
And also his cranberry sauce with honey.
Which I'm going to do
yeah.
this
you
year.
You have to let me know how it is.
Well, you know, he does cranberry sauce, honey, instead of sugar, which is always good if you can substitute sugar.
Right.
And then he does lemon zest. Of course, you can find kumquat. And I'm sorry, orange zest.
Well, don't yep. give it all away. Let people listen.
He's
good.
Yes, okay, sorry.
He's a neat guy.
Yeah, he was very cool.
And we've talked to him before, but it was fun having him in the studio. We got a little video.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're having fun. And also, so we're kind of usurping your foodie file with him.
That's okay.
But you did such a good post this week
oh,
with
thanks.
Pies.
Yes. Well, Thanksgiving, you have to have pie on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you really
I
do.
Mean, there's no other dessert. So I kind of upped the ante, I guess, with three Thanksgiving pies. So instead of your normal apple, you'll see a recipe for an apple cranberry walnut.
Yes.
And then there is a pumpkin ginger meringue.
Come on.
As well.
That's so cool.
And then a sweet potato pie.
Love sweet potato pie. I'm not yeah. a pie person. As a matter of fact, we have like weird things on Thanksgiving. My son, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband,
yeah.
has to have the requisite pies.
Right.
Okay.
But if we don't have the if it wasn't for the requisite pies
right,
for
right.
my sister's husband, it would be like creme caramel, tiramisu.
Yeah. My daughter made creme
stuff like that.
Yeah.
My daughter made creme brulee one year. She literally got all the little ramekins
Aww.
And she made individual like 20 different
little.
Did
she scorch them too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
she had the little
awesome.
Thingy.
The yeah. torch. You
yeah.
I mean, what fun. You can't have creme brulee unless you get that crusty top.
I love that.
Exactly.
She made pumpkin creme brulee one year.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, we did that, too.
I had an uncle that used to make Indian pudding, too. I almost thought about posting that recipe for
like
you
Like a
guys.
Traditional Native American.
Yeah, yeah, because in New Hampshire, the Native Americans, they used to make Indian pudding out of maple syrup.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's very rich. They used like whole
Is
milk.
Is it like
but
a bread pudding?
No, it's kind of like a normal thicker custard.
Oh, okay.
But kind of if you think about the taste of like, you know, a gingery, very fall
yeah.
festive
yeah.
pudding. So that's kind of interesting. That's what like he's had before, but we usually just do pies.
So if you go to thegreendivas.com, you will see that post
yes.
with all the instructions and the recipes. Yeah. yum.
Yeah.
Yay. Yum, yum, yum.
Very good.
So, you know, last week we had John Volker in the studio.
Oh, drum roll. Yeah, yeah. Because he was testing out the last of five cars that was going to get the Green, no, I'm sorry, not the Green Divas, duh.
The Green Car Reports.
Yes, it's a long, convoluted title. It's he admits it.
I think it's the Green Car Reports Best Car to Buy 2014.
That's and, a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. And the award, I mean, they must need a very big brass plate for that. But anyway, but we were surprised when we talked to John that along with the hybrids and
they had one diesel.
They had
Sorry. Every time we say diesel, she has to do
well, you know, because your grandmother.
It's a knee-jerk reaction.
Your grandfather's diesel, you'd know when he showed up because you'd hear. Because you always leave it on, right?
Yeah.
They never turned off the diesel. Why is that?
Yeah, that's another thing. How come people with diesels never turn off?
You know why? Because you have the engine has to get hot to heat the fuel first.
In fact, I owned a diesel. That's why they leave it on. I owned a diesel back in the 80s. And I used to have to, in the cold, cold weather, take like a hair, you know, like a blow dryer or whatever.
Oh, that's convenient.
And warm up the engine because it really freezes bad, like, you know. Yeah, it was not convenient, actually. So anyway.
I'm sorry. Can I just, hold on. I just need to pause here.
A blow dryer.
That's just about the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. What did you have? One that plugged into the car? No, of course not, because the car wasn't on.
Right.
So you needed a very long extension cord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just rephrase. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're getting ready in the morning, just do your hair and then just do your car. I mean.
It was a Dasher diesel station wagon. That was my first car. Dasher,
get
diesel.
Two strikes
on Dasher, on Dancer.
Yeah, but only if the blow dryer works.
Yeah, really. In the middle. So anyway, he had told us last week that there were five runner-ups.
Yeah,
and that they were still testing a retesting.
The last one. Yeah,
no, they were retesting because they had driven all of them, but they were reevaluating just to finalize.
I was hoping for the BMW because it's sort of innovative.
Yes.
It's like a fiberglass sort of body without the middle bar, so the doors kind of open in a funky way.
But there was also some innovation with the battery.
Yeah,
and
something really cool. And he even said, it might be the BMW, but they hadn't quite finished testing. So let's do the drum roll now. Ready?
Okay, drum roll. It was the, what was it, the Honda Accord Hybrid? I know, it was like the
brain burp. Yeah.
Well, I almost said Audi for some reason because I was thinking Accord, but there was no Audi involved.
No.
So.
No, it's the
Honda Accord Hybrid, which he happened to have driven out. So I got a picture of him.
Right.
Perfect.
With that car.
Perfect.
But I will tell you one thing about this car. Whereas even the BMW kind of looks like a wannabe Mini Cooper and or kind of, it's like one of those little snub-nosed cars. It looks like a Mini Cooper with the BMW.
Looks a little bit
grill.
Like a BMW bug. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just it's not necessarily an attractive car, whereas the Honda 2014 Honda.
It's sleek.
It's a beautiful car. Yeah. It's a sedan.
It's
a full size.
It's a full size four door, and it's such beautiful lines. So I will say that, you know, if they considered that as part of the choices, or what am I looking for? Like, don't remember the word. But anyway, if that was part of the mix, then
in the running.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. I'm so glad I majored in journalism. Oh my God.
Anyway, so speaking of all that, I have no segue for this. But I did read, like today, that there's a new search engine, an eco-friendly search engine. I thought, well, what is that? What's eco-friendly about a search engine anyway? Ecosia, right?
Yeah.
So what they say is that every 60 seconds that it's in use, they plant a tree.
Oh, well, that's cool.
That's really innovative.
So I like that. And they're really, you know, committed to reforesting all the rainforests that have been so dreadfully
cut down. Well, it was more than deforesting. Yeah. They cut the suckers right down. Right. So, yeah, absolutely.
So it's a really great idea.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And as long as it works, if I can find, I Googled the Green Diva, so I, we can.
No, you did not Google the Green Divas.
Oh,
you ecosia'd the Green Divas.
Oh, wow.
See?
Wow, ecosia.
They got an uphill battle with that, don't
well,
they?
Well, let's start. Okay, what am I going to go home and ecosia today?
Yeah,
let
ecosia.
Me go ecosia. Jason
ecosia
Mraz.
That? Ecosia this? That's what you have to think about.
Yeah, right. Ecosia.
That's right. Well, okay. Speaking of, and I was going to say, mention Jason Mraz, who every time he, and you know who he is. And
I love him.
I'm a latecomer because I'm technically like, 30 years older than you are?
So I'm in London.
But he plants a tree. He plants trees in every city where he is giving a concert.
He's also a raw foodie. Just
is he?
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why can't we get him on the show?
Please do.
Let's work
on that.
Dun, dun,
please do.
How am I doing?
You're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
If I had my voice, I'd sing with you. But speaking of singing... Speaking of singing,
are we going to do a little Green Divas concert?
I think we should. I think Doug, I saw on buygreen.com that boy short underwear comes
Doug.
In a size small.
Which you had promised to model for.
So if you send those to me, I will have a video of me wearing the underwear, playing my ukulele.
See,
the Green Divas.
See, only on the Green Divas radio show.
Because it's green underwear.
He sent the green. So he, Doug, you're listening. He sent
it's a beautiful
really
shirt.
Cute little green t-shirt.
Very soft.
Send them matching boy shorts, and she will play the ukulele and sing to us on a video.
She's going to parody something for us, right?
We have to think of something. I'll come up with a few options.
It's so easy wearing green.
Yeah, could.
Okay, I'm done.
Totally
making,
could.
Now she's just making stuff up, man.
Yeah, hey.
She's composing on the air.
Yeah, well.
So you hear that, Doug? Size small.
All right, there you go. There you go. That's good.
That is good.
That'd be really so good. Fun. Yeah. It could be a holiday version too. You know,
We can do holiday songs.
Well, we're going to do some sing along, right?
Yes.
With the ukulele
and Silent Sarah is going to sing as well.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Yes, she is. She's sitting over there smirking like, really?
Well, here, smirk about this. We're thinking about getting this It's a Wonderful Green Diva. No.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Wonderful Green Diva Life.
No, it's a Sustainable Green,
Green
Diva,
Diva
Life.
Green Diva Life, right, as sort of rewriting It's a Wonderful Life,
right.
Which is the famous, although there
Jimmy
are people
Stewart.
Who have never seen it, and I cannot understand who those people are.
Yeah, what rock have they been under?
Yeah, well.
It's a holiday classic.
And I like
fun.
The black and white better than the colorized version, because in the colorized version, they all have gray mouths.
I've never seen the colorized version.
Oh, my God.
I didn't see
horrendous.
The colorized version. Why do they have gray mouths?
Because they can't color the inside of the mouth. Like, they'll cover the lips, but when they open their mouths, they look like they have trash mouth. It's just terrible.
That's
weird.
Like
sad.
Chewing charcoal. I'm not kidding. It's terrible. Anyway, so it'll be Green Diva Meg, who plays the part of George Bailey, or who will be the George Bailey character.
Right.
And then we need to get a male voice because Mr. Potter, he's the mean banker, right, who wants to take over the village. Yeah. Mr. Monsanto.
Yeah.
Clarence the Angel will be Mizar, Green Diva Mizar.
Cool.
Mary, which can be Green Diva Mizar. And then,
Mary!
Do we have any other female
Shut
parts?
Those kids up, Mary!
That's pretty good, actually.
That's pretty good, yeah.
That's really pretty good.
I do voices. I do.
That's very good, though. But Jimmy Stewart's a hard one to do.
Really?
Well,
I always found him to be easy. But...
I don't know. And then Silent Sarah. I'm going to go there. There's only one other female role that's available. Of course, you have the old Mrs. Bailey.
Oh, Viola. The hooker.
The town floozy.
The town hooker.
The town hooa. Look at her. Oh, look at her. She's vamping.
Yeah, she's got the red hair. She
so
can
she
do
could
it.
Do that, right?
She's got the red hair.
But Viola was a bleached blonde, by the way.
I don't know.
Anyway.
It was black and white. How do
but
you
it
know?
Was very light gray.
Black and white could have been anything.
I suppose, but at any rate.
So listen, we have much more fun coming up in the show. Zeke did a wonderful segment, which I think we mentioned about.
Yeah, what a cool guy.
And
he's
then,
a cool guy.
You're going to do a DIY on some garden prep.
Yeah, just
winter garden prep.
I was out there and it came to me and that's what I did.
I think it's a good idea. And then we have Jessica Aranella, who is one of our friends. She has a video series called What You Can Do.
Yes.
And there are all these one-minute videos of like really simple ways that you can have an impact. And they do such a lot of work, she and her production team, to get statistics and to, how do I put, what's the word I'm looking for, to calculate the impact. So they gather, data and they calculate the impact. And I think that's so important to help people understand that you can make a difference by saving a gallon of water, blah, 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 or by turning off the tap for 1 minute, you save this much water.
Right.
And she's full of great statistics, and she talked a lot about hunger and things that we can do, especially during this holiday season. So with that, I guess I want to tell you to stay tuned because we've got a lot of really great stuff coming up. Stay tuned. Green Diva Misar.
Yeah, Green Diva Meg.
Isn't technology awesome?
Oh, you betcha. You know, it makes keeping up with the Green Divas radio show easier and easier.
Did you know that we're on iHeartRadio now?
Oh, yeah.
iHeartRadio has a new talk channel, iHeartRadio Talk, and all you have to do is download the app, go to the website, go into the search bar, and search green. And guess what comes up to the top?
Why, the Green Divas Radio Show.
That way you'll never miss a Green Divas Radio Show.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Honey, do 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 do. Ah, honey, honey.
Do 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 do.
All right, good. You got the doot doots down, yeah, and I know. We're replacing.
I'm the backup singer.
I know, and as Zeke Freeman, who's here in our studio today, says,
and you're very fortunate I didn't sing.
Come really?
On. Really?
No, do a couple of doot 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 doots.
I'm not going to do it.
No doot doot doots.
Sorry.
All right. Well,
but
Zeke
I am
Freeman.
Excited that we're replacing honey with sugar.
Yes.
Yeah,
let's just tell the folks, Zeke Freeman from Be Raw Honey, and we're talking foodie files with honey.
Yeah, and because
Sorry.
She can't help herself.
I know.
And since this is going to be on before Thanksgiving, Zeke has got some recipe ideas that involve honey.
Of course.
Why not?
And what else?
Of course.
Raw honey. Bzzz. Don't go to your raw honey purveyor or go to BeRawHoney.com.
Yeah,
okay, so should we talk about that really quick? I
yes.
mean, because these
yes.
are recipes we are going to cook, right?
Okay,
and
yes.
I often get from people after we've talked about raw honey and all the great benefits.
Yeah, where do I find it?
Well, they also say, well, what do you mean I'm going to cook with it? Like, I've gone to all this, you know, and then we're going to cook with it? You know,
yeah.
Am I cooking it?
Good.
And yes, you are, you know. But the good news about Be Raw Honey is that we're not only raw, but we have all these single varietals. So we have buckwheat that I do this with
oh,
cooking. And
you have
aster honey I do that with. And you have raspberry honey I do this with. And I have all these different recipes. So you still get a lot of the benefits. Maybe not all the raw benefits because you are going to cook it. You know, you're going to. You know, we're going to talk about my honey brine turkey. Amazing.
Oh.
But you're going to put it in the oven for 3 hours. Okay, you're not going to get the health benefits of raw honey. But at least you won't be using sugar and you will get something.
Yeah, you don't need all that refined white stuff.
And a seriously beautifully browned caramelized turkey.
It sounds like such a good idea. Like, duh, why have I never thought of that before this moment?
Well, you don't eat meat.
Well, gee, you think that's
touché. Good? Touché, I believe, is in order. Come
no,
on.
But I have touché.
Thank you.
Touché. But I have actually roasted turkeys. I roast a turkey every year and I eat a little bit of it. I mean, I'm not.
Do you make a tofu turkey?
Sorry.
No. I've never done that to my family. It is tempting to try, and I always have some kind of vegetarian and vegan options,
sure.
But I've never done the
tofu home. Turkey.
Although good we talked to Marie Oser last week, who had some interesting recipes for a vegan bake,
yeah.
You know, like a roast thing, which we'll try. Anyway.
All right. Let's get down to the honey.
Yeah, honey on a turkey talk. Talk turkey.
Talk turkey.
Talk turkey.
So, you know, clearly, you know, I am not a vegetarian.
We should remind the folks at home that you're also have a culinary background.
I do have a culinary background, and I love to cook, and I love not being a professional chef anymore because I just want to cook for my family.
Yeah, no pressure,
and no weekends.
My family and my friends, and I cook like crazy for them. And
did I say
I
this
have to
in
say
the
they
last?
Are very lucky.
You're so cute. Did I say this in the last segment? Can I move in with you?
Yeah,
you did say that in the last.
Okay, can I'm going to say it again.
You
can
certainly
I move
come
in
over
with
for
you?
Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
Oh, man, I just invited like 25 people to my Thanksgiving. How can I abandon them and go to Zeke's?
I don't know.
I don't know. It depends if you bring roast tofu or not.
I wouldn't do that to you.
No.
Okay, so turkey.
Yes,
so,
turkey. Let's
so,
talk turkey.
So, you know, everyone's talked about like brining over the past
Correct.
Few years, right? You've heard a lot about brining.
Yes.
So I started thinking about brining, and of course, honey came to mind. And so I now brine my turkey, and I use probably a gallon of water, probably about 16 ounces of honey. Probably a tablespoon of whole black pepper.
Yeah.
Another tablespoon of whole juniper, bay leaves.
Juniper.
I love juniper.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But that's why I like gin so much.
Juniper.
Can we substitute juniper gin for gin? I'm kidding.
To drink, you can.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm all
kidding.
About drinking on Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. It's a freebie day.
Yeah.
A bunch of bay leaves. You know, good handful of bay leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Good handful of fresh thyme. And that's about it. And I boil all that together let it cool, and then soak my turkey for at least 24 hours. Oh, and of course, like, you probably want a good cup of salt in there.
I was going to say, did you want to put salt in there,
yes,
too?
Brine, okay. Brine is a necessity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course, you're going to get nice. You know what I bought in Toronto? I bought Dead Sea salt.
Oh, yeah.
In bulk.
Well, I use that Himala salt. Have you ever used Himala salt?
I haven't, no.
It's from the Himalayan mountains. Mm-hmm. It's pink. It's,
yeah,
incredible.
Oh, I've used it.
And
yeah,
you don't need as much of it. So, right. I mean, it's just a really, anyway.
All right. So, but we digress. But that's okay, because it's all good. I'm just now looking forward to Thanksgiving. Maybe at Zeke's house. I don't know. We'll see.
So then
all right,
I reserve a good, once I'm finished brining it, you know, it's been 24 hours, 48 hours, I reserve a couple of cups of that, and I reduce it, and I glaze as we're going along. Like, I'll brush the turkey with that as we're going along towards the end, so it doesn't over brown, because it could over brown, but you get such a perfect, like, caramelized exterior.
The honey does that.
Now,
naturally.
Wow. Now, here, my husband.
And you're getting all of this herbaciousness from,
the infused brine.
That's right. Now, that's been concentrated.
Now, my husband and I always go through this every year. I believe that, you know, intenting the turkey for the first.
Yeah, I don't do that.
You don't do that? Mm. Okay, so.
I don't either.
Really?
Some people put bacon slabs on there, but then that changes the whole taste of the turkey.
No, my mother taught me to tent it, so it kind of cooks in its own juice. It stays very, very moist.
Yep.
Then you take it off for like the last half
if you
hour
brine,
so.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, I think
that's probably true.
I think so, because we've been brining for many years, and no tenting necessary.
No tenting necessary.
No, and it's like butter.
You know, but it also makes a big difference, though, is the heritage turkey.
Yeah, we get those.
You know,
my
it's
husband.
Like, you know, when you don't have those big breasts, they don't dry out as much.
Yeah, yeah, we do. She looked down. I'm sorry, I had to, because there's not a camera in here. That was just so funny. She looks down. When
you know, I came up in television, Zeke, so for me, it's always sight gags. I just forget it's radio sometimes.
Just helping you out, sister.
Thank you.
Okay, so we always order a heritage organic, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
so we're ordering it
naturally.
I think today. Very good.
But
my husband's ordering it today. So
that
I'm going to try
me.
That.
I need to go home and
you know
do that
what?
Too.
What he does is he insists on cheesecloth. He kind of
that too
soaks the cheesecloth like in butter or something.
But if you brine then, it, you don't have to do it.
I think we're going to have to try that this year.
I think so. And that sounds like a fabulous recipe. But you've got more cranberry sauce with honey.
Cranberry sauce with honey. I mean, and that's as simple as like, look, replace the sugar with the honey.
Yeah.
You know, find a nice
but equal amounts.
Yeah, I was going to say
equal amounts to the sugar you would use.
Okay,
and then I add a good. I probably zest an entire orange.
I put it in
now,
there too
into my.
That's where the kumquats came in when
that's
before
when
we were
talking
about kumquats.
Yes.
Because I found a recipe which is very simple, and it was just, you know, cranberries and kumquats and sugar or whatever.
Right.
But you know, you got to find the kumquats.
That and
the
and,
only time I reduce the sugar, and I make this, I've made this recipe a bunch of times, and I'm always playing with it because I never do anything the same way twice. It's just kind of the cook in me. Is I will squeeze the juice of the orange as well, and that gives a little sugar, and then I'll reduce the
honey. And we're talking raw honey. It's not, folks, that you can be rawhoney.com. I'm going to say it a million times because, as I said in the last segment, I despised honey, but of course, I was eating the stuff off the grocery shelves.
I was drinking it off the
well,
shelves.
Well, no, I mean, I was, no, that's but, fun. And I didn't like it. So I'm going to say again, it's got to be the raw honey because it took me more than 50
and,
years
and so
to figure that out.
So for this particular recipe, I actually use our Florida orange blossom honey as well. And
well,
the beautiful thing about varietal honeys is they, each one has a very specific color, texture, flavor, et cetera. And so the orange blossom honey actually, like when you smell it and you taste it, you actually feel like you're walking through an orange globe.
So there's a citrus. There is a citrus.
It's not that it tastes like orange. It's that green, leafy, the scent, the essence of an orange flower that comes through. And that floral bouquet comes through in the cranberry sauce.
Okay, I have a confession to make. I throw some cognac in there too.
Why not?
Okay, good. I put a little cognac in my cranberry sauce.
Do you?
If
brandy, because cognac can get a little... But yeah, I do. Yeah, I like it.
Why not?
Sounds
what
good.
What were you going to say? If someone what?
Oh, if someone were to, you know, add some brandy to my cranberry sauce, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah. You know, it cooks off. It's just the essence, that flavor I like so much.
Any other ideas of how to use honey for holidays, yummies?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I know. You know, the list goes... First of all, cheese board, hello.
Yeah.
Right? You know, right? It's like, you know, look, the cheese board is the easiest thing in the world to, like, put out something super easy and mm-hmm. people that always love. So it's
We're not talking cheddar in a block, okay?
No, we are not talking about cheddar. No. You know, it's like, go to your cheese store, get some artisanally made, you know, cheeses, a nice variety, you know.
I am a cheese addict.
A goat, a soft ripened, you know, get a manchego, you know.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And tell your cheesemonger, look, I have 3 or 4 of these fantastic varietal honeys. I have a buckwheat honey and this honey and that honey. Can you help me pair some cheeses with them?
Now.
And put them on your cheese board.
And then people dip the cheese in there?
Yeah, just a little smidge.
Man, I love that savory.
Do you use
sweet.
Like just a little... a little bowl for it.
A little ramekin or something.
Yeah. A lot of them go in little ramekins. There's certain of our honeys that crystallize in a very unctuous way that kind of hold their shape. So if I'm doing a cheese course, for example, mm-hmm. I'll actually put a piece of cheese with that specific honey and just kind of put it around that it will hold its shape.
Oh, he's plating. No.
Yeah, it's kind of what I do. Like for my
Hold on. Did I say this yet? See, can I move in?
I know.
Holy smokes. I'm going to become obnoxious with this.
One of my favorite pairings is buckwheat honey, which is a very dark, dark, strong, molassesy, you know, even barnyardy in flavor.
Really?
Honey. I'll take that along with some fresh ricotta or a little fresh goat cheese, and I'll just pool the buckwheat honey on a white plate with the ricotta right in the center, a little sprig of thyme. And it's just beautiful. But it's so delicious.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry.
So these are really
easy. Where do you get the buckwheat honey? I'm just curious.
Washington State.
Okay,
because... So most of our buckwheat, like, you know...
There's a bunch of Bouchards that are distantly related up in, like, Frenchville, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And they all grow organic buckwheat.
Yeah. Which is amazing. I'd love to be put in touch with them. Most of our buckwheat has migrated over, you know, the past, you know, 50 years to the West Coast because of the Japanese population... is growing for soba. And those things. So there's very little production, which all over the Northeast used to be, you know, and it was a very highly used, they make
an amazing ploy mix. Have you ever had ploy?
No.
Ploy is like an Acadian pancake.
Mm-hmm.
It's so freaking good. Oh my God.
You keep promising.
Okay.
I'm gonna make you some.
All right, I'll make you some. Anyway, that's what they do, buckwheat. And
that's
they,
very cool. Very I mean, cool. You know, I think it's very cool that they're still growing it up there, and now that maybe we have Zeke. That's cool.
That's my married name, Bouchard.
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 It's not, would you say it was called Frenchville? It's Bouchardville. They're all Bouchard up there.
There's a lot of
Bouchards.
French.
But you know what? Let me just ask you this, and I know that we're talking recipes, but honey, it's true. It is the one food that never goes bad.
I don't know if it's the one food, but it certainly doesn't go bad.
Never.
I mean, vinegar doesn't go bad, right? You know.
No, it doesn't. I guess you're right. Doesn't go bad. It's already bad. I mean, right. I like vinegar, but it's already in a converted state.
Yeah.
If you think about it, so is honey. Honey is the original preserve. All right. So bees go out. They collect nectar.
You're correct.
Nectar is their food of choice.
Yeah.
And they're making honey for their food for winter.
Oh yeah.
It's no different than putting up green beans for the winter. It is really no different.
Thank you, honeybees.
That's right. Thank you very much.
I thought you were saying thank you, honey, to Zeke.
Thank you. Well, that was better than how we closed the last segment, which was something about sleeping with Zeke. That was funny.
You had to remind me?
Yeah. It was funny. I don't know. What was that?
I said Zeke is coming back for several more segments, which is still the case now. So we have miles to go before we sleep.
And then you said with Zeke.
Very funny. I was doing Robert Frost.
I know.
Oh, we're having God. Fun. Can we stop now?
More segments to come. Stay tuned, everybody.
Looking
Bye-bye.
Forward to it.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
All right, so let's talk garden. That's DIY in the garden.
Well, it's a good idea to get some stuff prepped for wintering over and stuff like that. Now, for many, many years, I have these two fig trees.
Figgies?
love figs. Mm-hmm. I have a black fig and a green fig, and I get a lot of fruit.
Love it.
But that's because I take these big, I don't know, what are they, 20-inch pots, diameter?
Big pots.
And I lug them into the garage, and I have to find a spot for them in the garage, and I have to kind of always figure my way around them all winter, and then I got to bring them out in the spring and then lug them back in.
How long have you had them?
Oh my gosh, I don't know, half a dozen years maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So and I get a nice little harvest of
do
figs.
You? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. So that being said, I said that's it. I'm biting the bullet this year, and I'm going to plant them. So you do the research. You put them on the south side of the house where the sun is.
Mm-hmm.
And the rule of thumb is when you're planting is that if you buy a $10 pot, perennial tree, whatever. You have to dig a $20 hole.
It's a big,
which means you got to go down deeper and wider.
Yep.
And the whole goal for this kind of plant is to keep it warm and keep its roots from freezing.
Correct.
Right?
So I put them up against the house on the sunny side of the house. And then I thought, you know, Antonio, my husband, goes, well, we have to go out and buy hay, and then we should mulch it, and we have to buy burlap, and we have to go get the mulch, but mulch of the DPW. And I thought, I think maybe I should have just kept lugging them back and forth because I just didn't feel like it. So anyway, I think, okay, fine. I resigned myself to doing that. I got up, looked around. You know, my yard is on an acre and a half of woods. There's a yard and then woods.
Yeah.
And where my son doesn't get in to cut the grass all the way, I had all this beautiful, long, dried grass. And I went, well, what would a green diva do?
Yeah.
Refuse. So, repurpose. Recycle.
I went and I gathered all of this grass, and I tucked it in nicely in the roots, and I just kind of padded it. And as the winter gets colder, we've had some pretty mild winters here in Jersey the last couple of years. We had a couple of snowstorms, but, you know, I'll go ahead and continue to fill it in and just, you know, keep my fingers crossed.
Now, didn't you say that the little woolly beasts?
Well, yes. Now, we were talking about that beforehand. These are the little caterpillars, the black and
orange ones,
the ones that you used to try to keep as pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me that story.
Yeah, my friend Julie and I would name them and kick them home.
Yeah, exactly. Silly. Well, the woolly caterpillars, it has been scientifically proven that if, you know, we always heard as kids, if they can predict winter, whether it's cold or long or short and warm, whatever. So the rule of thumb is if you've got a wide orange stripe, you're going to have a cold, harsh winter.
If it's bigger than the black stripes.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's what I have been seeing.
Oh.
Sarah showed us a picture, and the caterpillar is orange.
He's pretty much almost
He's
orange.
He's not black.
Is that,
do you want, there's no stripe.
Is that a local fuzzy guy you found there?
A little woolly one.
Yeah.
So, but I have a very sad story to tell you.
Mr. Woolly sad story?
It's a woolly fat story.
It's
you know,
really
it's a woolly sad story.
Woolly sad.
It's woolly sad. Now, is that someone with a sinus infection or someone being silly? It's woolly sad.
It's sort of both. But the story is sad.
Right, it's punny humor.
Okay. Yeah. So
writer humor.
I was out in the front yard, and I was down toward the street, and I see this big, fat, woolly caterpillar crossing the road.
Don't do it, woolly.
I said, don't do it,
don't
woolly.
Don't go. You'll never make it.
He didn't. You know, a car's tough.
Mr. Woolly.
So sad. You know what I did? I was so freaked out. I heard the car coming. I said, I can't jump in there because I'm going to, you know, it's me or the caterpillar. And you know, a car's tire is only, there's a lot of road there.
I
and
know.
Not nearly as much
like
tire relatively. So I see the car coming. I actually averted my gaze and closed my eyes and said, please, no. Who made that sound before?
Which one, me?
The squishy sound.
Oh.
Yeah, I will say, the only nice thing about it is that's a lovely color yellow on the inside. However, I don't think that's what the caterpillar was planning. I was devastated.
Aww.
I was devastated.
You probably saved a tree, man.
I don't know. I felt so badly for this thing.
I know. Well, yeah, that's a bummer.
It was.
And that's the story of the great circle.
Of life.
Correct.
Yeah, now the cars are part of our circle of life in this area, right?
Where's Elton John when we need him?
Oh,
please. I felt so badly. It was terrible. You know, and when I think about it, okay, Meg, you want to give me nightmares now?
Yeah.
But you know what? When I think about it, this entire studio looks like a woolly caterpillar.
Yeah.
A whole lot of orange and not a lot of black.
Look at the ceiling's black.
Yeah.
A lot of orange.
It's kind of orange. It's a kind of a brick red.
It's a brick red. It is correct.
Anyway,
what did Sarah say? She said it's the same exact color.
So go to thegreendivas.com and check out this post about wintering some of your favorite plants.
Yeah.
And what else to do in the garden, right?
Yeah.
Wintering. Okay. Yeah. Stay tuned. More good stuff coming.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Greetings, everyone. This is David Avocado Wolf, nutritionist, author, and chocolatier. And you're listening to The Green Divas. Listen close, tune in, and have the best day ever.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
So excited to finally have our friend Jessica Arenella from What You Can Do on the air. And I think she's been pretty busy since we last talked to her. So let's get her on. Jessica?
Hello.
Now, you've had, I think, a baby since we last talked? I didn't even know you were pregnant. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Yes, it's been a real blessing.
Congratulations. And you have a little girl or a little boy?
A little girl.
Aww.
And what's her name?
Her name is Aria.
Aria. What a pretty, pretty name.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And, you know, I see that you've managed to stay busy even, you know, having a baby and all that stuff. So tell us what you're up to these days.
Well, I mean, I have to give a huge shout out to the team. You know, my sister, the executive producer, Alicia Arenella, as well as everyone else who's been working with us, because there's no way that I could have stayed involved without them. And we've been doing great. We had a couple of wonderfully successful campaigns this fall. We were able to do another kindness campaign with the Anti-Defamation League, as well as Rachel's Challenge, which is the organization that came out of Columbine. And we also featured some stories of hope for breast cancer survivors, again, with the Breast Cancer Site.
Wow.
Yeah. And we were lucky enough to win another award of excellence from the Indie Fest for the Rainforest video that I know that we talked about last time.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I just love that you're doing these campaigns which really help raise awareness, but in a measurable way, which I think people really appreciate. Learning, you know, how...
Exactly. I think that was important to us. I mean, the one-minute idea we all love and are inspired by, but, you know, we started hearing from a lot of people, does it really work? Really?
Right. Does it really matter?
So, yeah. By joining forces with some of these wonderful, almost 100 not-for-profit organizations that we've been working for, we've really been able to put sort of the one-minute movement into action and to really see how these very small actions add up to measurable change that you can really say, look, we did this.
Wow. And so tell us, I'm just writing notes because I love what you said about the one-minute movement. That's kind of new. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
Measurement of change. Wow. So tell us, we're going to talk a little bit today about some ideas for having a healthier, greener, more conscious holiday season, right? Because I don't know, not entirely sure whether this will air by Thanksgiving, but it definitely will air before all of the December holidays.
Yes. You know, I think it's so important. You know, I just read from the EPA that the volume of household waste increases 25% between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is about 1 million extra tons of waste that we're producing in just that, you know, six-week period.
That's insane.
That's insane, but it makes kind of a lot of sense, too, because if you think about all the food you're cooking and the presents you're wrapping...
Plastic packaging.
Plastics. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm sure you guys saw that, you know, they just put, it's common sense, but the reminder that every single piece of plastic that has ever been created since the 1800s is still on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be here for another couple hundred years as far as we know.
Yes. So, you know, again, reduce, reuse, recycle as much as you can around the holiday season is so important. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it's so hard because the holidays are a time when you really do want to be a little excessive maybe, and you want to show your love through a beautifully wrapped present or, you know, a wonderful meal, or, you know, if you're like me and you have an Italian family, we like to eat a lot.
And feed everybody.
And feed, like, everybody.
Relate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our little Greek foodie over here, she's raising her hand and
the
nodding.
The whole Mediterranean thing, I getcha.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we had a joke when my mother was still with us that, you know, basically anyone ever could come to our house for Thanksgiving and she would have enough food.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
Yeah, you could have an extra 10. Be like, that's fine. No
and
problem.
And have leftovers still.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do that too here.
And so, you know, so for getting ready for the holidays, it seems like a lot of times some of the easiest things to do is to plan a little bit ahead. You know, we have a huge, huge family who comes. We're very blessed for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. You know, we can feed up to like 30 or even 40 people. So one thing we try to do is we try to coordinate ahead of time, because I don't know if you've had the experience where you have 6 apple pies that all of a sudden show up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Been there.
A little redundancy.
Redundancy. So, you know, planning ahead, making sure that everybody can bring everything. We have a very close family, and one of the nice things that we can do for leftovers is we can ask people to bring their own reusable containers.
Ooh.
Because you know you're going to want to send things home, and you know that's a lot of plastic to use, but if people bring the things they have, that can be a really, you know, quick, easy, green way to take care of it.
Oh, that's great. I like that. See, my kids always want to take the food home in my glass containers, and I'm like, no, no, no. I'm going
to
make
that's
them.
Another thing. You know, if you do have the means to maybe provide, you know, some glass containers that you could cook in, but that does tend to get more expensive. But asking people to bring their own, you know, sort of handles that problem.
Well, the other thing that I would, and I do this, is I start saving some of the glass jars, the larger ones especially.
That's so smart.
You know, like a, you know, spaghetti sauce or tomato sauce, whatever the larger jars are, they're handy for you know sending people home with food or food storage for yourself or whatever.
Yes, I mean that's actually a really smart idea if you start saving them like around the end of the summer.
Yeah,
easily.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I do have a healthy supply of them because I got tired of losing all of my glass containers and I just refuse to use plastic now.
Exactly. So that's one way to do it. Another thing to do to think about ahead of time is it's going to be inevitable that you're probably going to have leftovers. So two things that we like to do is one is to start printing out recipes ahead of time to be able to use the leftovers, because the last thing you're going to want to do the day after Thanksgiving is to figure out what to cook. But if you have the recipes there, you can use that food. Also, a lot of shelters will take it if you sort of call ahead.
Really?
Maybe not your local food pantry. You know, it is a time of year when people tend to think of them, but local women's shelters, things of that nature, some of them will take sort of unused but cooked food.
Ah.
So if you call ahead, that can be one way. And hunger this year is so important. The statistics are up, you know, from 1 in 7 families or 1 in 8 families facing hunger to as high as 1 in 6 families this year is going to be facing hunger.
Really?
Wow.
That's just astonishing in this society of fat, obese people and the amount of food we throw away. And I'm sure you have a statistic for that, right? Because you do.
For the amount of food we throw away, I know is staggering. I know that, you know, statistically in New York City alone, 1.2 million New Yorkers are going to be visiting food pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters this year. And 400,000 of that number will be children.
Wow.
That just doesn't seem right. Yeah,
no.
I'm very active here in my town with our local food pantry. And I always, you know, I always have extra stuff. I always have extra cans of beans I keep around or something.
Mm-hmm.
And why not?
Yeah, I think it's so important, especially this year with the cuts that they've made to food stamps.
Yeah.
That's so true. And I've always thought about, you know, like, what do kids do around the holidays? You know, who their families might not necessarily have the means, but I wonder where they could go, you know. And my mom's a teacher, and she said that a lot of food pantries, they provide extra, you know, for families that
have
kids.
Well, now, like the little church I go to here in my neighborhood is sponsoring, I think they've increased the number. I think they're sponsoring like a dozen families for Thanksgiving. Where, you know, we're all going to contribute to help, you know, make Thanksgiving happen for these families. And I'm sure they do something similar for Christmas, but, you know, I can only handle one holiday at a time.
It's true. It's a little overwhelming this time of year.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this year what you can do, we'll be partnering again with the Holy Apostles Soup Kitchen, which is the second biggest soup kitchen in the country. They serve 1,200 meals every day to New Yorkers in need. And, you know, they get ready for both Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it is someplace that New Yorkers could go.
So speaking of Christmas and the other, you know, you have Hanukkah and other sort of gifting holidays coming up. You know, we talk a lot about DIY and upcycling and wrapping creatively. Like, I haven't bought wrapping paper. I haven't purchased wrapping paper in years because I just now I refuse to do it.
Yeah,
that's great.
I don't know. Maybe I'll break down this year. But
I think there's a lot of alternatives, though, to wrapping paper.
Well, I use, like, I buy new dish towels, like, you know, pretty color dish towels.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that to my family for so long that they each now have a collection of cloth dish towels.
That's so cute.
Now, Sarah, did you want to say something? Oh, okay. Go ahead. Okay.
No, it's just a great idea.
It is.
Yeah. And I've used, my friends and I, we all like the old comics. So we'll just like wrap ours in comics and just like an old newspaper just because they're cute and fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and we have a joke in our family that, you know, again, because we're lucky we're a close family. So if you're giving a gift, we end up using the same boxes every year.
Yes.
You
know, that's what we do.
And reuse them.
Yeah, and we have also bags that we keep passing by. It's kind of becoming a joke because they're getting like all wrinkled up and the name's been crossed out on the card or whatever, and we just keep giving these bags back and forth.
It's so funny.
But it really makes a huge difference, you know, and also to think about sort of the energy use that you're using during the holidays.
Oh,
you know
me,
the water, you know, I'm crazy about the water.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, leaving your tap running, it wastes 2 gallons of water a minute.
Oh, wow.
And the EPA has again estimated that if every family on a huge holiday, for example, Thanksgiving, which is, you know, obviously the biggest in our country, if every family could save just 10 gallons of water, which would be just 5 minutes of letting that tap run, we would save 1 billion gallons of water in just one day.
Ooh. Wow. Now, there's an interesting goal. And
right?
You've run water conservation campaigns where you've asked people to specifically, you know, kind of document what they're doing and what they're saving and then, you know, right?
Yes, we are. And we're hoping to do one again for Thanksgiving. Just as a reminder to people, I know that, you know, you're so tired, you know, the last thing you're thinking about is whether or not the water's running. But, you know, in our family, especially, you know, you're so grateful someone else is doing the dishes and you don't want to be the one who goes over and sort of shuts off the tap while they're doing them for you. But I've been that girl.
Yeah.
And just keeping a soapy basin.
Yep.
You know, in the tub so that, you know, scraping plates instead of running them off in the water and then sort of keeping like a soapy basin if you do have to do some things by hand,
yep.
It does save an enormous amount of water.
Yes, it does. The problem in my kitchen, in this house, we haven't been able to update it, but we have one like sort of shallow sink. It's not even like a very deep, big sink. So we have limited space around the sink. So it's a little challenging, but I do love that soapy basin thing. Sometimes I just take one of the bigger pots that's not disgustingly dirty, or I rinse it out, and then I fill it up with soapy water, and I throw all the silverware in there, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Make do with what you have.
Yeah.
You know?
Get creative, man. Yeah, so the energy use, I know that there are statistics about how much more energy gets used over the holidays because of
the lights. Oh, my gosh,
and then we went nuts a couple weeks ago talking about all the blow-up.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what's really, what's really funny is after that show we were talking about those blow-up things, Mizar and I were driving out, and you have a neighbor, not this block, but the next block. Mizar stopped in the middle of the street and like throws her hand out the window, and there was a house with like 7 blow up things, and she's like, and I hear her yelling from her car. She's in front of me. She's like, "Do you see? We were right. We're right."
And this was like in October.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I know. There was like Christmas, Halloween, and Thanksgiving just like blown up in this yard.
See, so you see those things, and you got to imagine the energy it takes to keep them blown up with the little fans and whatnot.
How many cords? Like, I was wondering how they were plugging them all in at the same time.
Yeah, well,
like,
there
were so many of them. How do you have enough cords, and how do you have enough plugs around your house?
Yeah, right? Don't turn on a blow dryer. The whole house will go out.
Seriously.
But if you have to do it, like if you're that family that's just got to do it, you have the lights. consider using the LED lighting because it uses 1/50th of the powder.
Yes, so if you're going to use the lights.
Because I know a lot of people have them on switches, so that, you know, you can just hit a button and they all come on.
Right.
But if you can make the effort to unplug them out of the wall when they're not in use,
yes.
You know, again, 75% of use of all of the power that we use is actually used when the product is turned off.
Yeah, that vampire energy.
That's so
crazy.
It would, you know, if you've got to do it, at least you could save the energy there.
It's a good idea.
And commit to like one less little floaty thing on the yard.
I like that. Just one, you know, make one shift in how you do things, and you can make a difference. And I love, tell us the your website so people can go and see all these fabulous videos.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's whatyoucando.com, and we do have a section for holiday videos. And we will be doing a social media campaign for hunger, and you can find that at facebook.com/whatyoucando.
And, you know, they're just such great little videos. There's so many different people that get involved. A lot of times you have kids, but the message is so perfect in this day and age when our attention span is about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, you can do a lot in a minute. You can learn a lot in a minute. And
you can
make
a huge impact in a minute.
Yeah.
It's true. All those minutes add up. All those views add up to a lot of time that people can spend making a difference.
I hope you've trademarked this 1 minute movement concept because I love it. And you're right in the front end of it.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Well, congratulations on your aria.
On aria. Oh, thank you so much. Mm.
And we'll hope to talk to you soon.
I hope so. Thank you guys so much. You're always so great.
Bye-bye, Jessica.
Okay, bye.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
All right. Well, you know, we've burned up another whole hour, Green Divas.
Well, we just do it so Green Diva well.
We have so much Green Diva, GD fun.
Yeah.
We have so much GD fun.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we're all going to go home now and take some of these fabulous recipes.
Yes.
And where are you going for Thanksgiving, Megan?
Oh, right here. We are gathering. We have friends
coming. Oh, yeah.
We have family coming.
You have the friends that you accidentally invited.
Oh, you know, it's not that I didn't want them because I do. And they happen to be our favorite neighbors. You know, you have those neighbors.
I do.
That you just hang out with like every Sunday who the kids are all running around because the kids are all the same age.
Yeah. That's how I started my You Gotta Eat gatherings.
And then they moved to Australia. So they're back.
Aww.
And anyway, and I ran into Steve in the store and, you know, you invite people, but you really don't expect them to actually say yes. Not that I didn't want them to, but I just didn't expect it. And then the next day, it's like, all five of us will be there. What can we bring?
Yeah. So you were just being nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean it. I mean, we love having a big, you know, chaotic Thanksgiving.
It's, yeah.
It makes Wayne very happy, right?
The best kind. And Gina has three Thanksgivings.
Because one is just not fun enough for a foodie.
Honestly.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. I'm on dessert duty for basically three of the three, actually.
Well, so you got all those pie recipes.
Yeah, I'm making pies this week. Making a lot of pies.
You have Friendsgiving?
Friendsgiving on Sunday.
Your adopted family.
My adopted family on Thursday, and then my real family Saturday night.
In New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Okay, now I've turned the mic around, so I'm going to put Sarah on the spot.
Sarah's going to tell us what she's doing.
Yeah, what are you doing, Sarah?
Classic, traditional Thanksgiving at home, including lots of meat.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Carnivorous. Well, isn't it usually a turkey kind of feast? Or do you guys have extra meat?
It's a little bit of everything. We're pretty diverse. Yeah. Lots of veggies, but I'm in charge of pie, so thanks, Gina, for the recipe.
No problem.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
That's what a Green Diva foodie does.
And you're going to Massachusetts to your
sisters?
I'm
going to Massachusetts with at my sister's house. At least I think so.
You mean maybe you're uninvited now?
Well, that's a whole other story.
I was just kidding.
I wasn't going to go there, but my mom's going up Friday night, and then Antonio and I will drive. My kids are going with their dad's family.
All right.
Well, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And I'm going to make
Isn't
Zeke's.
Your ex-husband British? Do they celebrate Thanksgiving? I thought when I was going out with a Brit, they were like, you know.
Well, we no, he's Northern European, but actually his ancestors on one side can go back all the way to the Mayflower.
Oh, yeah.
So if they don't
Pilgrim through and through.
I really, they were like the original Thanksgivingers.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so then Antonio and I will drive up. And then, you know, it's a lot of fun. I'm sad my kids won't be there, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to make Zeke's recipe, but I will throw in my little cognac at the end there. Well, it's just so yummy.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. I'm actually getting pretty hungry now that we're talking about it. But I want to say, just to throw this out there, that I'm very grateful. And I hope people do think, you know, it's not all about the food, even though we like to talk about the food, that they're, you know, to be mindful, thoughtful, and thankful. And I just want to say to you ladies, I'm very grateful that, you know, you're here and that we make a lot of fun podcasts and videos, and we're having a good time.
And we disseminate a lot of good information, which is really so gratifying
to me. Doing it. Yeah.
It feels good.
It feels good. But anyway, I'm grateful for each and every one of you.
Oh, right back at you, Green Diva sister.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm gonna cry. Anyway, have a good holiday, and we'll be talking to you after the turkey or tofu or whatever the heck you're eating.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.